Welcome to Manufacturing Revival Radio, brought to you by Assembly Magazine. Assembly Magazine educates suppliers, buyers, and users of assembly equipment in manufacturing plants to connect, learn, share, and explore all things assembly. This special edition of Manufacturing Revival is coming to you live from the floor of the Assembly Show in Rosemont, Illinois. And now, here are your hosts, Todd Schnick and Todd Youngblood.
All right, welcome back to Todd and Todd's exclusive coverage from the Assembly Show. Todd, you know, we had the pleasure of chatting with a representative of this company last year. We did not speak to today's guest, but I'm looking forward to the conversation. It's always insightful.
I am too, because I understand it's 183 years this company's been in business. I mean, that you hear somebody that's been in business 20 or 30 years, you're impressed. 183? Holy cow.
Clearly, there's a mindset there that seems to be working. In fact, we might explore that a little deeper in the interview. But say hello to our guest. His name is Mike Rogers. He's the Director of Business Development for Bessard. Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Todd. And thank you, Todd.
Thank you, sir. Good to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us. Inform the audience about Bessard. What do you do? How do you serve your market?
Well, as you mentioned, Bessard is 183 years old, and the beginning of our company was in fastener distribution. We have grown beyond that over the last 50-odd years into more of a service organization. So our primary focus is three pillars. Products, where we have 80,000 standard items within our catalog. Engineering services, where we'll work with OEMs to define applications or simplify them. And then logistics services, where we will actually go in and work with their demand flow and maintain a level of inventory that is required based on the number of turns that they would like to have over the course of a year.
Mike, you mentioned OEMs. Is that your primary marketplace, or what other marketplaces do you serve?
OEMs, being original equipment manufacturers, is our primary focus. We do work with contract manufacturing, and we're starting to dip our toes into other areas. But OEMs is such a big catch-all.
Right.
When you start to break it down into industries, the agriculture business, the rail industry, a little bit of automotive, electronics manufacturing, we're kind of putting our hands in a lot of different things at this point in time.
Walk us through how you assist your customers with managing the flow of parts.
It's a good question. With our pillar of logistics, what we will go and do, and a lot of fastener companies do this, specifically in the distribution, but we add a little extra flavor to it. In essence, they come to us with their estimated annual usage, their EAU of components, and then we'll break those down according to what they actually need on their floor within, say, a 7-day cycle, a 15-day cycle, or a 30-day cycle. We'll take that inventory level, and then we'll manage it based on what the need is and what the flow is per the part. Now, our logistics system, which is completely automated, is based off of component weight. So the weight of a component, as long as it's more than 2 grams, I can determine what the weight would be of a 15-day supply, a 30-day supply, and moving forward. So our system basically monitors that level of inventory. So as an individual on the production floor pulls said parts, he pulls it down to a level that is the watermark or the trigger point. And at that point, my system automatically sends a signal to our fax system, which controls our entire buy pattern, and then reorders that part direct for delivery right to the point of use. So that's how we flow parts through. The add-on to that is we'll look at the customer's usage and also make determinations as far as the components are concerned and say, is this the best part to be used in this application? And our engineering department will back that up and make assessments and things like that based on where we see industry changes, what we see new in technology, and what their overall usage is. Our focus is total cost of ownership. So we're looking at driving the soft cost, the piece price, and the overall value from the part number down to the floor level.
I'm really intrigued by this notion of, is that the right part to be using in that particular application?
Yeah.
I mean, that you can't automate that, can you? I mean,
no,
I don't see it. I mean, that's got to be people involved. Talk a little bit more about how you do that.
Well, our engineers, we currently have several engineers in different aspects. I have 2 on my team alone of business development. And then we have the regional, which is qualified as your inside sales team. There are several engineers on that team. And then we have the corporate level, the product solutions. So at any point in the process, I can give you direct engineering support. So as it relates to talking with the customer and how to define a part, a lot of times engineering will go through the standard, your McMaster car catalogs or any type of information like that to define what they want to work with. They'll look at the parameters and what the tolerances and expectations of those parts are. And that'll be from, you know, one level. What we bring to it is back to 183 years worth of experience on working with these parts and understanding, you know, the real tolerances, the implications of it in a manufacturing process. What's going to happen to that part when it goes out to the field? You know, the field testing with regard to like salt spray, corrosion resistance, things like that. This is what we focus on so that our customer, quite frankly, doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. Our engineering department, we do lunch and learns on a consistent basis where the topics range from, you know, picking or choosing a particular component to why you would want to choose one over the other. You know, why do I not want to go with 12.9 in terms of material? Well, hydrogen embrittlement is the main reason for that. You want to go back to, you know, your other series of components mm-hmm. and your other finishes to avoid certain things. And this is the experience that we bring to the table.
Mike, clarify something for me. Did I hear you say earlier in the conversation that catalog of over 80,000 items?
That would be correct.
Yes. Right, now, I don't imagine you have all 80,000 of those here at the
no.
show. So walk us through what you're principally showcasing here.
Okay. Well, the catalog comes out of our headquarters, Zug, Switzerland. If you look at Bessard on a map, we are 60 locations in 24 countries. All right. The U.S.-based group focuses primarily on specific customers that we do business with. Our inventory is geared towards them with a modest amount of catalog items thrown in. All right. Where Europe, it's all catalog driven. They are true distribution. China functions kind of as a hybrid between the two. But in terms of access to it, I might not have it in my Cedar Falls facility, but I have it in Zug or I have it in China. And then I can break it down and ship across country lines, state lines, whatever it might be, in order to get that product to you in the most timely fashion that's available.
So what are you principally showcasing here at the event?
Principally showcasing, we have a new launch of a new platform for our SmartBin. It's actually called our SmartBin Flex. Our classic SmartBin is a unit that is a racking system. The Flex is completely wireless and battery powered, so you can move it to any location on your production floor, and I can automatically tell how many components are in that bin, what your usage is, and when your refill point is. So it's a really, it's a leap forward in the idea of automated inventory.
What kind of questions are visitors to your booth asking? What kind of issues are they wrestling with?
A lot of it is, what is that when it comes to the smart bin? Because okay. we got it displayed as a candy bowl right now, and you pull parts out, and you can actually see it on the screen how many, you know, tricks you took out. But a lot of the questions we're getting is, how do I simplify my method? Lean is a very big word this year. And actually, light products is another one. So we've kind of had to adapt to that quickly. So our product solutions division has come up with a number of components specifically focused on light and lean, working with carbon fibers, a little bit more plastic, and it's completely drilled towards that end of it. So that's a lot of the questions we're hearing. And the other side of it is, of course, you know, explain to me, you know, how this system works in terms of the automated, you know, smart bin system. So. That's a lot what we're hearing. We're seeing different industries here that I was kind of surprised. We've had a few people from the rail industry, a little bit more people from the automotive than I thought would be here, but it's a very good mix of different industries that we're seeing.
Yeah, there is a nice diverse crowd here.
Yeah.
Mike, we talked at the top of the show about Bessard being 183 years old.
Yes.
There's a reason that happens. An organization does not exist and serve its market for that long without being an innovative, forward-thinking organization.
True.
How do you guys build that culture where that continues? You can also, being that old, you could be stuck in some old traditional ruts, you know, and so clearly you're not doing that. How has Bessard built that kind of an innovative culture where you can continue to advance the ball down the field?
Well, I think as a culture, we listen to our people because there are people out in the field that are doing this on a daily basis, and our management listens to that, and they want to know what's happening, what the trends are, and things like that. But I think when you look at it, it's the focus that we have. We don't run up and down the streets. You know, my team will laugh at this. We don't run up and down the streets with line cards, throwing them out the window, hoping to get an order from somebody. We really tend to look at specific industries where we can take advantage of economy of scale and say, this makes sense. We understand. We have STAR reports, which is our situational actional results, where we can take some of that experience that we had and apply it to new companies and say, you know, we learned about this before. So take advantage of that. I tell my team on a consistent basis that, you know, I want you to find something that fits, that is a business fit across the three pillars. If you can find that, then that's a customer that works for us because they're not concerned about, you know, everybody's going to come back to piece price. It's going to hit you at some point in time. But we want customers that look beyond that, that want our services, and for lack of a better word, view it as a true partnership, because that's what we're doing. We're there for the long term. I don't want to be as good as my last order.
Well, those of you listening to this who engage in that line card tossing, you know who you are. All right. Well, Mike, we're out of time. Before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you and learn more about Bessard?
Well, they can get in touch with me. Do you want me to give a phone number?
Absolutely.
Well, the main number, if I may give it to you, because I'm based out of Atlanta, Georgia, but our main headquarters is area code 319-277-5520. My email address is mrogers, R-O-G-E-R-S, at Bessard, B-O-S-S-A-R-D, and I'd be happy to help you out any way that I can.
Mike Rogers, Director of Business Development with Bessard. Mike, it was great to have you. Thanks for stopping by and joining us.
Pleasure was mine, Todd.
Pleasure
thank you very much.
Ours,
Todd,
I
thank
assure you.
Our
right. pleasure.
All right, that wraps this broadcast. Todd and Todd signing off from the Assembly Show. We'll see you soon on Manufacturing Revival Radio.